Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Please turn to Daniel chapter 11. We're going to read through chapters 11 and 12. Daniel, you'll recall, was given visions by the Lord showing him not only what was going on, but what was to come. And so he's getting an explanation from the angel that has appeared to him in chapter 10. And that angel says, "I was delayed in getting to you because of having to fight against the prince of Persia." And then God sent another angel to strengthen him, Michael. And that made it possible for this angel to make it on and give Daniel the interpretation. So beginning in chapter 11, verse 2, this is the explanation that Daniel is given. "Now then, I tell you the truth. Three more kings will appear in Persia, and then a fourth, who will be far richer than all the others. When he has gained power by his wealth, he will stir up everyone against the kingdom of Greece. Then a mighty king will appear who will rule with great power and do as he pleases. And after he has appeared, his empire will be broken up and parceled out toward the four winds of heaven. It will not go to his descendants, nor will it have the power he exercised, because his empire will be uprooted and given to others. The king of the south will become strong. One of his commanders will become even stronger than he and will rule his own kingdom with great power. After some years, they will become allies. The daughter of the king of the south will go to the king of the north to make an alliance, but she will not retain her power, and he and his power will not last. In those days, she will be handed over, together with her royal escort and her father and the one who supported her. One from her family line will arise to take her place. He will attack the forces of the king of the north and enter his fortress. He will fight against them and be victorious. He will also seize their gods, their metal images, and their valuable articles of silver and gold and carry them off to Egypt. For some years, he will leave the king of the north alone. Then the king of the north will invade the realm of the king of the south, but will retreat to his own country. His sons will prepare for war and assemble a great army, which will sweep on like an irresistible flood and carry the battle as far as his fortress. Then the king of the south will march out in a rage and fight against the king of the north, who will raise a large army, but it will be defeated. When the army is carried off, the king of the south will be filled with pride and will slaughter many thousands. Yet he will not remain triumphant, for the king of the north will muster another army larger than the first, and after several years he will advance with a huge army fully equipped. In those times, many will rise against the king of the south. The violent men among your own people will rebel in fulfillment of the vision, but without success. Then the king of the north will come and build up siege ramps and will capture a fortified city. The forces of the south will be powerless to resist. Even their best troops will not have the strength to stand. The invader will do as he pleases. No one will be able to stand against him. He will establish himself in the beautiful land and will have the power to destroy it. He will determine to come with the might of his entire kingdom and will make an alliance with the king of the south. And he will give him a daughter in marriage in order to overthrow the kingdom. But his plans will not succeed or help him. Then he will turn his attention to the coastlands and will take many of them, But a commander will put an end to his insolence and will turn his insolence back upon him. After this, he will turn back toward the fortress of his own country, but will stumble and fall to be seen no more. His successor will send out a tax collector to maintain the royal splendor. In a few years, however, he will be destroyed, yet not in anger or in battle. He will be succeeded by a contemptible person who has not been given the honor of royalty. He will invade the kingdom when its people feel secure, and he will seize it through intrigue. Then an overwhelming army will be swept away before him. Both it and a prince of the covenant will be destroyed. After coming to an agreement with him, he will act deceitfully, and with only a few people, he will rise to power. When the richest provinces feel secure, he will invade them and will achieve what neither his fathers nor his forefathers did. He will distribute plunder, loot, and wealth among his followers. He will plot the overthrow of fortresses, but only for a time. With a large army, he will stir up his strength and courage against the king of the south. The king of the south will wage war with a large, very powerful army, but he will not be able to stand because of the plots devised against him. Those who eat from the king's provisions will try to destroy him. His army will be swept away, and many will fall in battle. The two kings, with their hearts bent on evil, will sit at the same table and lie to each other, but to no avail, because an end will still come at the appointed time. The king of the north will return to his own country with great wealth, but his heart will be set against the Holy Covenant. He will take action against it and then return to his own country. At the appointed time, he will invade the south again, but this time the outcome will be different from what it was before. Ships of the western coastlands will oppose him, and he will lose heart. Then he will turn back and vent his fury against the Holy Covenant. He will return and show favor to those who forsake the Holy Covenant. His armed forces will rise up to desecrate the temple fortress and will abolish the daily sacrifice. Then they will set up the abomination that causes desolation. With flattery, he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant, but the people who know their God will firmly resist him. Those who are wise will instruct many, though for a time they will fall by the sword or be burned or captured or plundered. When they fall, they will receive a little help, and many who are not sincere will join them. Some of the wise will stumble, so that they may be refined, purified, and made spotless until the time of the end, for it will still come at the appointed time. The king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed. For what has been determined must take place. He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers or for the one desired by women, nor will he regard any god, but will exalt himself above them all. Instead of them, he will honor a god of fortresses, a god unknown to his fathers. He will honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and costly gifts. He will attack the mightiest fortresses with the help of a foreign god, and will greatly honor those who acknowledge him. He will make them rulers over many people and will distribute the land at a price. The time of the end, the king of the south will engage him in battle, and the king of the north will storm out against him with chariots and cavalry and a great fleet of ships. He will invade many countries and sweep through them like a flood. He will also invade the beautiful land. Many countries will fall, but Edom, Moab, and the leaders of Ammon will be delivered from his hand. He will extend his power over many countries. Egypt will not escape. And he will gain control of the treasures of gold and silver and all the riches of Egypt with the Libyans, the Nubians in submission. But reports from the east and the north will alarm him, and he will set out in a great rage to destroy and annihilate many. He will pitch his royal tents between the seas at the beautiful holy mountain. Yet he will come to his end, and no one will help him. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. And I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed." I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." This is the word of God.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
What are we to make of this? Well, I've told you in the passages we've looked at leading up to it that there are various interpretations about particularly those portions that have to deal with the end of history, the second coming of the Lord, the Antichrist, etc. But there's a whole lot of stuff in here. In fact, the majority of what is in here is not about the future for us. It's about the future for Daniel and the Jews who were alive in his time. Remember, they had been captives in Babylon because of their sin. God had judged them by sending them into exile, but God had promised that after 70 years, he would bring them back into the promised land and reestablish them. The problem is, he wasn't going to reestablish them as top dog. Okay? It would no longer be like the days of Solomon. Instead, Israel would be under the heel of one ruler after another. We're talking foreign rulers, one after another. Even after God let them go back to the land, it wasn't the way they wanted it to be, and so there was a lot of confusion in the generations that would follow. Like, when is God going to set us back up? So God, through Daniel, revealed to the people, this is all part of the plan. First, this is going to happen. And then this is going to happen. And then this is going to happen. And then this is going to happen. This prophecy of what's going to happen is so accurate and detailed that people who don't know God, when they study this and compare it to history, say, well, that had to be written after the fact. Because, I mean, the things that are described here, I mean, it actually, this is what happened. But, I mean, how could Daniel know that ahead of time? Well, the book of Daniel tells us how he knew. God showed him. I mean, why in the world would it be difficult for the creator of the universe, the author of history, who spoke the universe into being, why would it be hard for him to know the future and to communicate it in as much detail as he chooses? We've alluded earlier in the study of Daniel to the fact that God did this with Noah. He said, build a boat. Build it like this, because there's going to be a huge flood. Because God knew what was coming. And that was going to be more than 70 years. But God knew. God said to Abraham, generations are going to go by, and then I'm going to have these people destroyed, because at that point, their evil will have reached its peak. Some of us look around at what's happening in our world, and we feel like, you know, we're on the eve of destruction. But here's the thing. The Jews were looking at their situation, and they're saying, how could it get worse? And God's saying, oh, trust me. Trust me. And it gets worse. And it gets worse. And it gets worse. If you read Romans chapter 1, you find that when God displays his wrath, he uses Burger King's slogan, have it your way. Have it your way. He gave them over to all these wretched abominations. Why? Because that's what they wanted to do. And God said, have it your way. You may be still chafing against the idea of surrendering your life to Jesus as Lord. I plead with you, don't be insane. He knows what is best, and he loves you more than you love you. Don't be afraid to trust him and just cast everything on him and say, Lord, you're in charge. I want your will. I want your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Please, God, have your way in my life. Daniel was given a panoramic, detailed view of hundreds of years of history. And the people who studied and believed God's word were able to take comfort in the fact that this is exactly what God said. Okay, all right, and it looks like there's more to come. Okay, but we're reminded that God is in control. And so, not to be afraid. It's not going the way we would choose. It's not going the way we would script it. But it is going exactly the way God said, and I can't believe he even got that. I didn't see that coming. But that's exactly what it says. It's exactly what it says. That's the purpose. Okay, so this was really pretty much about what was going to happen with the Jews. Can I get that outlined somewhere? You can get it outlined lots of places. I'll tell you, I've got, as you might guess, a bunch of commentaries and study Bibles. I'm using the NIV, but for notes on Daniel concerning how this played out in history, I would recommend the ESV study Bible. Okay. Is the other one not a real Bible? Oh, it's a real Bible. It's got great notes. You can get wonderful ideas about it. I think these folks make it clearer, and their chart of the various rulers is easier for me to follow. Okay? Are you going to read that to us? I thought about it. I did. And I thought, well, no, that's not preaching. That's just giving you an amazing detailed history lesson. But you can get that on your own. Okay? What I want you to understand is the application. And the application is God is totally in control. He has already determined the future. He is not making this up as he goes along. And it's all going to work out exactly the way he said. Look in chapter 11 at verse 27. Daniel 11, 27. The two kings with their hearts bent on evil will sit at the same table and lie to each other, but to no avail, because an end will still come, here's the phrase, at the appointed time. At the time they set? No, at the time God sets. It's going to happen at the appointed time. Look at verse 29. At the appointed time, he will invade the south again. Look at verse 35. Some of the wise will stumble so that they may be refined, purified, and made spotless until the time of the end, for it will still come at the appointed time. So when it comes to history, God's got a plan. When it comes to you, God has a plan. He has a plan for you. Okay, Pastor, I'm sorry. I need you to touch on one more thing. And that is, you've indicated before you believe some of this isn't just about leading up to the time of Jesus, but it actually has to do with the end of history. Absolutely. Okay? In chapter 12, particularly, and there are other places in Daniel also that refer to that, but in chapter 12, you've got some things that then are not just leading up to the time of Christ, but you've got some things that are at the very end. And if you look at what is in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, John's letter to the churches, Book of Revelation, among other places, you find that there will be a man of lawlessness, the Antichrist. And that horrible villain is going to be given the opportunity by God to do horrible things all over the world and cause enormous suffering. And when it happens, you and I should not be saying, I thought we were going to be out of here. I hope we are. But I'll tell you this. Whether it works out to be a pre-trib rapture, or a mid-trib rapture, or a post-trib rapture, it's all going to be fine. God's got it all figured out. It's going to go exactly the way he has planned. And when it happens, we'll say, that's what he said. That's what he said. That's exactly what he said. God says what he means, and he means what he says, and it's going to happen just as he said. Trust him. Obey him. You will be grateful. Refuse, and you will be destroyed.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.